Brings us to the Economic Development Monthly Report, and I guess in the absence of the chair, it's simply an information report. I'll ask Joel to go through it, and we'll see how we handle it without a chair. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I just touched on some high points of our monthly report. We've worked with 14 businesses during the months concerned, 11 existing, one is a new startup, and two are potential. And 11 of these were business visits and involved a follow-up activity as well. On the rural internet file, we're continuing to be actively involved in that and are communicating with any telecom providers that we are hearing about and trying to research as thoroughly as we can all the different options that are out there.
Apropos of that, I got a letter this morning from Leo Bragg in response to our letter, and I've circulated it to council and to staff. So.
Thank you. The climate data study, the findings from the 2014 portion of the study are available now. They're online at that link there, but there is going to be a public presentation at Wilds Lake Farm Market on the 23rd of September at 1 p.m. and that's going to be the only sort of full public presentation of those findings. There will be an abbreviated presentation here at Council sometime later on. North Queen's business.
Have we scheduled that yet?
I believe it's the 27th of September, or is it October?
Okay.
It's scheduled anyway, it is scheduled.
Okay, good. I raised that just so if councillors are unable to get that scheduled, and
I can shoot around an email confirming that date, so that's going to be sure. The North Queen's Business Hub, that is has now actually had its final building inspection. I understand they have a provisional occupancy permit, so all the regular fire and business hub activities can proceed with moving into the hub space, which is very exciting. On Highway 103 signage, at the last, a couple of council meetings ago, there was a discussion on the new Highway 103 out in West Queens, and plans to get signage for the attractions and businesses out in that area at those two new exits. Well, one's new, one's going to be repositioned. And so in the meantime, staff have facilitated discussions between all the different stakeholders, and there seems to be some favourable discussions taking place around making sure that gets resolved.
Apropos of highway signage, you may notice as you are driving west from Lunenburg County that as you approach the boundaries, the Kingdom of Queens, you will notice that a lot of those signs that were so dilapidated and offensive have either been removed or repaired. They look much better, and thanks to Special Constable Hurley, who was like a bulldog insofar as the TIR stuff is concerned, so it's come.
The South Shore Tourism team continues to be active, and they had a Facebook competition based on picking different experiences, and they had over 9,000 entries for that, and the results of that have shaped the fall promotional campaign. And they did have a meeting with the folks at the Bay Ferries call centre. Those are the ones handling the Digby to St John ferry, to deliver some product awareness training to staff, and that took place on August the 19th. A two-month event promotion following on from the very successful 21 days of summer that we had around the opening of the Liverpool Town Hall, when there were also a host of other events going on in Queens up to including the Blue Rodeo concert. We then found that we wanted to keep that momentum going, so came up with a 50 Ways to Love Your Summer campaign, which kicked off August the 1st and covers the whole of the months of August to September. What we found is that actually there's more than 100 events during that time, but certainly have got some momentum and buzz going around that, which has been helped by our social media presence and having our summer ambassador and the good work that staff have done to pump out information on all this great stuff we have happening here in Queens.
There's some misleading advertising in that. You talked about hot days and cool nights.
Yes, I agree. Vista Services, we've had some good numbers in July, better than last year, certainly for July, and we've noticed a number of visitors extra from Quebec this year, quite strong presence, and we've been fortunate enough to have three of our seasonal staff who have French language skills, and they've been very busy using them, and the visitors have been very grateful for that. We're doing the trial of opening late on Friday, Saturdays and Sundays at Four Point Lighthouse, and promoted that through social media and through the accommodations and attractions, and we're going to evaluate the impact of that at the end of the month. Overall, we had a good month for July.
In the numbers, the thing which I thought was particularly significant was the upsurge in visitors into the North Queens VIC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any comments, Councillor Waterman, up there?
It's more visitors.
That's great.
More people travel.
No.
More people stopping in.
Yes, I was wondering, the VIC in Liverpool, you know, it's not a great increase there, and I was sort of thinking that the Yarmouth boat, that it would be increased because of the dollar also, but it just didn't seem to be there.
I think in common with quite a few of the accommodations you speak to, that they're not seeing a whole lot of impact from the boat. But what they are seeing, and I think we mentioned this last month, is more people from across Canada who maybe would normally go south, below, beneath the border, because of the dollar rate, they're staying in Canada.
Yes, and I just add to that, with that being said, possibly we are receiving more Americans into the flow, and not going to the VIC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could be. Certainly in the guest book, you know, we've seen a high showing for Massachusetts and New England, you know, those places that, you know, are handy to the border.
Councillor McLeod, then Councillor Frelick.
Technology may also have an effect on that. A lot of people are doing their own gadgets and using that as a source of information. But I did notice that Fort Point Lighthouse Park was up significantly as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think those folks are going to attractions rather than information, like the VICs are going to actual places where there's an activity going on, or museums and, you know, these parks and that sort of thing is a real attraction to them.
The Americans certainly love the lighthouse.
I was going to, I was attributing in my own mind the increase to the beluga whale that was being seen off the fort. But the thing is, I wonder, if you take your numbers, do you add the Liverpool VIC, Caledonia VIC, and Fort Point to end up with your total of 55.44? Because do we know how many of the 1955 visitors to the fort actually visited the VIC? So are we counting people twice by totaling those?
Mm-hmm. I think there's certainly a chance that we are, and we don't have the level of sophistication to cross-reference names in guest books.
It's almost better to leave out that total, because it's almost, I think, it's
misleading. Yeah.
Any other comments? Sorry, Brent.
The summer events that we worked on, I haven't heard anything about the fall events and the Christmas. And I noticed some emails from the Chamber of Commerce for fall advertising.
Mm-hmm.
What is the plan for moving forward with those similar kind of promotions?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll just have to be, these weren't budgeted. These have been additional items that weren't budgeted. So it's a case of really looking at what money we have left, whether we can support to that scale anyway. But I certainly think we should keep the momentum going in any way we possibly can. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money to do it. So
because of the success of the ones that we did over the summer, will we be budgeting those for next summer and kind of adding to them, or is that too early?
Well, it's certainly something that we can put into the mix when we get into our budget deliberations, for sure.
Any other comments, or Councillor McLeod?
Regarding events, first of all, I'm sure everyone is aware that a very successful Hank Snow tribute was held over the weekend. And what I recognize this year was the fact that the shuttle was in Liverpool constantly. It was they had a lot of shuttle vans, and they brought people into the area, and they were eating and they were buying, and I really think it was a real benefit to have that. I know a couple years ago there was a complaint by one of their businesses that shuttles did not come into the downtown core.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I mean, they were very visible and very well used and had a waiting list of people wanting to come into town. And elsewhere too. I mean, they took them around to out, you know, on the outer sides of
Medway.
Yeah.
I thought it was a particularly smart move of Private Air Country Kitchen, for Private Air Kitchen to give free meals to the shuttle drivers, which almost guarantee isn't getting right into
right.
The
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't
eat
one.
I didn't eat one.
You didn't eat one, or you didn't
no,
need
I
one?
I didn't eat one.
Oh, okay.
But it was a real nice gesture to
yeah.
them.
And also the ukulele Kaylee is being held this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another
fall
layer
event.
Fall event, which
yeah.
is really something that we should promote.
Exactly. Councillor Fancy.
I know it's very hard to signage-wise, because our town, just the way it's laid out, but I noticed that we've been shuttling people around. People wanted to go to the Rochester Mall Cultural Center. If you didn't have us to take them, it would be very hard to walk, you know, really, in its own way. Yes. I don't know what we can do with things like that, because it's not in a really good location to where it is, but they loved it when they went there.
I was just going to say there is some not bad signage around town to that sort of on the side of what used to be Hemian's
right.
pharmacy, and you know they've actually Sherman Hines did quite a good job of his signage to that attraction, but it's still, you know,
it's
in the busyness of the downtown, it's sometimes hard to focus on all the signs. I think
there's a lot of work that we need to do with the Rossignol Cultural Centre. It was only at the last minute
mm-hmm.
that the decision was made by the owner to operate it, to open it. And so as of the 30th of June, I think I heard that it was going to open on the 2nd of July.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it very hard to do any signage and so on and that work. So I know that Richard has on his note the need to have a meeting with the operator, which we will do, and see if we can't structure that whole our relationship with the cultural center much better for 2016 and out, because it is an incredible asset, and we really need to see if we can help keep it open, grow the visitorship there, etc., etc. But we need to plan for next year before the 30th of June.
Yes.
Councillor McLeod.
On a note of partnerships, I got a notice or an email that the Chamber of Commerce are having a strategic planning session the 1st of September, around the first week in September, which is a good thing. I mean, they're planning, and I think, you know, we certainly can be in partnership with their plans and what our vision is and what we'd like to have them do on our behalf. So that's a good thing to be held this year. First time I've ever really heard that there was a planning strategy or a planning session strategically planned for that organization, which is a good thing.
I think they had one about a year ago.
Did they? Okay, yeah. Was it effective? Did it work well? Chris, you're involved in that more than...
I'm on the board there. And in deference to the media, I'll talk to you about that later. Because I'm not the spokesman for the Chamber of Commerce. Yes, Councillor Fancy.
I would say sometimes suggestions comes off the top of my head and they're not always great. But but could we have something like in the town hall, like I would love to see something like a screen that you could be able to, the people coming in the town hall could come in the town hall and be able to punch something up and there'd be the screen. You are here and here's all the significant things that are around town. So you could be able to find the streets and things
similar
like that.
Similar to the one we have at Queen's Place.
Yeah, similar to that, yes. Because you aren't going to say if you're going to Queen's Place, you're going to Queen's Place. But if you're going to over town and you're in the middle of town, you're walking, a lot of things you could reach very easily. You're right from that one spot.
Well done. Okay, are there any other questions under economic development that you'd like to raise? Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
There's nothing on the agenda for corporate services.
Your report.
So I have had conversations with several of the fire chiefs, and they're very happy with the arrangements that we've made. Engineering and Works, Councillor Waterman, do you have anything that you'd like to bring before Council?
Brad was in kind of updated from last morning to here.
Yep, indeed. So that takes us to item 12, which is the Northern Heritage Society, and it's under recreation. So again, it will be a discussion between the chair of recreation and the councillor for the district as to who makes the motion and as to who might second it.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a grant in the amount of $750 to the Milton Heritage Society to be funded from the grants to organization budget line.
Seconded by Councillor Fancy. Thank you. Heather, do you want to give us a word of explanation, please?
Yes. Did you read already?
Okay. Yes.
All right. The Milton Heritage Society was awarded a grant under the Grants Community Organization of $900, which was a reduction of $350 over what they had been funded the previous year. They're a municipally owned facility. They run as a society in that facility, but there is no restroom there. So what they're asking for is $750 to help fund the portable washroom in that facility.
Councillor Inglis.
This, as Heather's background paper point, so reflects how we provide washroom opportunities at other at other municipal properties. So I think it's a clear-cut thing. You know, unlike other museums that have major sources of funding, this one's locally funded. It's our property. We should be glad that they're operating it for us. And I don't think there's any question that covering the cost of waste disposal there is something that council should be covering.
Councillor Fancy.
Yes, Matthew Collins had approached me about this, and he wondered why, with the cuts, that it made it difficult for them with having to put the portable washrooms in. So I felt we still had some money left from when we lowered our level and the grants to organizations. And so I said just to come in and approach and see if we could look at it.
Councillor Frederick and then Councillor Woolman.
Well, just a statement about that. And when we did grants to organizations and we did do some cuts and we lowered the actual amount of grants to organizations, I'm wondering how many other people are having these small issues that don't come back to us and don't ask the question. So it's something to keep in mind when we're actually adjusting that line item with the grants organizations, that these are all small opportunities and nonprofits that need that extra funding. So absolutely, I'll support this.
Councilwoman?
I kind of look at it differently. It's owned by the region, and it shouldn't be coming out of grants to organizations. It should be a regional account. But I will go along with it for now, for this year, but it should be rectified next year.
Jennifer.
The note actually on my paper is to bring that up at the budget meeting next year. Perhaps we'll just put it in the regular line item in the Blackstone Museum on our general operating budget next year.
Yes. It is our property, even though a non-profit runs.
This is not connected with the motion, but I would suggest if we're going to follow that tack, that we should get some indication of usage, not by the washroom, but of the how many visitors do you get there? I mean, we should try and get some sort of feel. However, that's it's a red herring to the motion. Are there any other discussions germane to the motion? If not, I take the question. All in favour? It's unanimous, and thank you. Thank you. Anything? Yes, Councilor.
I just wanted to follow up with recreation. Tomorrow night is the second in our summer concert series at our partnership with the Astor and recreation. And we have a great concert. We had an amazing one 2 weeks ago, which we did some marketing. Recreation did some marketing. And they're out there doing that now, but it's important that everybody on council do this. This is an opportunity that it doesn't really happen a whole lot between municipalities and groups like the Astor. And Chris brought that up when he introduced the band last week. So it's important, if we want this to continue and to see it grow, is that we support it and let our constituents know that this is happening. And hopefully we get into the process where every Wednesday night there's something happening at the Astor, because they have a summer theater series or fall series, and then if you have music, that all benefits the bar, which is kind of struggling, and the bar is actually the one that is, they're raising funds to pay for the rent. So it's a win-win for everyone if we all support it. So it'd be great to see people out tomorrow night.
Councilor Pratt, do you have a feel for how many people attended the first concert?
Yes, there was about, I would say between 50 and 60 people,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was a small crowd.
Yeah.
We were late in the game advertising. It started on Monday, but we did, Gavin was here at the time, and we did a media blitz, and we offered some free tickets to get the buzz going, because as we know, it's all about creating the buzz, and we've just been given a sandwich board, which is old school, but yet lots of tourists walking along the street every day need to see that. So that was put out yesterday, and that will be any region, anything that's happening as far as the town hall, we'll be able to use that. But it really is about promoting and creating a buzz about anything that happens in the town hall / Astor. It's a big opportunity, but also a big problem to create that buzz. So.
Councilor Fancy.
I know when I was speaking with Norm, he was surprised how many people that he didn't know.
Oh.
And that was you're bringing them off the streets in, which is, I was surprised how many people saw what was going on and came. So that's
I think the main group was all summer, they were all summer residents who follow the Astor Theater, and we had given away some complimentary tickets at the hotels, so we were seeing people that were traveling through. But again, talking about how great Liverpool was, and we tried to talk to everybody as they came in. But it's really that summer crowd that are here looking for stuff to do in the summer that really we haven't tapped into, and that's great. Fall, I think it's a whole different crowd that we have to figure that out, but it was very successful for our first time. It was great.
Thank you. Anything else on the recreation?
No, thank you.
Councilor McLeod, anything on the planning?
No, sir. We're planning our next session with the PAC in September.
Thank you. Queen's Place O'Meara Center, Steve, Councilor Fancy, any give your report, the highlights, please.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'll give you a few highlights for July and into August for Queen's Place. First of all, ice rentals were flat to last year, and just important to note there that you know, for the Blue Rodeo concert, we were down for five extra additional days. And an aside to that is that was very a very successful event in dollars and cents too. So we'll report on that at a later date to you.
So when you say at a later date, when will that be, Steve?
I will be back for the October session, so I will present that at that point.
We've reviewed the preliminary thing. We think it's an important story that we tell it well. So
well, I do too, but it's our friends over on the right here will tell you that news loses its relevance when it gets old. And you know, here it's October, it's August. We shouldn't have to wait till October. I wonder if we can, if you're off on vacation, fine. Then maybe somebody else can give the report. I think we should have that information sooner than that.
We can do that. For fitness, fitness and track, a number that isn't in your package, the roll and average for fitness membership over this first quarter and 1 month of the year is approximately 293. And the year year memberships are maintaining their average. And it's the shorter term products such as the 1 month product that in totality that are off somewhat. So we're looking at some different options to come with recommendations on some rejigging some of the membership options to revitalize the overall membership number. This fall we'll see the return of On Points Performing Arts, and that's popular with the young children. And this present fitness class session will end on September the 5th and be followed by Free Week, and we'll be into the fall season. In general, in-ice ad installations, we have two 6-foot by approximately 25-foot in-ice ads going in that will be visually appealing, and that's going to happen next week. We're also, again, looking for options for arena and community room going forward. Also, like to thank Kelly Inglis and her crew from Hank Snow Tribute. They did a wonderful job, and I believe they had a very successful event. I know from a canteen perspective, our preliminary number says that we recovered to the 2014 season for canteen dollars, which is encouraging. And overall, things went very smoothly. Upcoming this week, you're going to see the return of the O'Regans, AAA, Bantam, Western Hurricanes. They're going to hit the ice on Wednesday evening for a preseason hockey game. So, you know, certainly stop by and support the team. And then they're going to return and play Valley Wildcats again on Saturday night, or Saturday afternoon, I'm sorry. So hockey is back in the house. And that concludes my report.
Questions of Steve, comments? Yes, Councilor Fancy?
I'd like to follow up a little bit on with Hank Snow, because a lot of times what happens is, because they don't fall under any category, they don't get a lot of mentions through here. But I talked to Charlotte a bit Monday, where I was up to the food bank, and she said it was very successful. They had more, I call it motorhomes, for lack of a better word, but they aren't all just motorhomes. But they had more, they had an increase, and I don't want to say numbers because she just had numbers off the top of her head floating around, but it was definitely more successful. driving around with the people, there was more. There is a, as Councillor McLeod said here earlier, they were more aware that the people could take them to different places this year than they were last year, because it was all new. So they were prepared. They would come and say, "Hey, can you take me here? Can you take me there?" With the setup of the vendors down by Hank Snow, I think it was fairly successful there. They had there was a donut shop, for a better work of lack of a better word, ice cream. I think That's a Wrap was there. The Lion's French fries. And I think it was another
Kinsman fries.
Kinsman fries. Sorry about that. I'll get the wrong one here. And I think people is getting used to where everything is. And again, like from last year, from where they asked us hardly anything to about going anywhere last year. This year they were ready. They came in and they were ready to go elsewhere. So I think overall very successful. People talked about trying to bring back different people with them next year. I think this is growing. It's not becoming stagnant.
My news source in West Lunenburg County is Bob and the Boys. And they were all of a buzz following the Hank Snow weekend. And certainly the comments are going out of Queens and, you know, coming back how successful the event was and what a good facility it is and how well it all fits together. Any other comments, discussions? Yes, Councilor Waterman, sorry.
The club is here, hockey team will be back.
Yes, they will.
19th.
Mid-September, yeah.
19th.
The old rink in Bridgewater is not reopening, I understand, this year. Is that? Correct. Are we feeling the impact or the benefit of that?
We've had few requests, and we're working to fill those, but the prime ice season, prime time, is looking very strong.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, any other questions of Steve? Any other comments? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 15. Anybody have any points that they would like to raise?
If I might, Mayor Clark, I counted them when I looked at this. You know, we look at this dangerous and unsightly load that Kellyanne brings us, and see that in the month of July she dealt with 26 of these things, and that's just a piece of her work. You know, I get complaints sometimes, and you know, people talk about the you know, different unsightly properties, and I have occasion to get to a lot of other small communities like ours, you know, perhaps with a small former town in them, etc. And I think Kelly's doing a fantastic job, you know, and she's certainly not given a light caseload to work with, so what she's able to do and get moved forward, and one of the things that we don't see are all the successful files she gets clears without having to bring them forward to us. So I think it's good to recognize just how heavy her job is. And again, to point out under the building permits that we're certainly, if permits are any kind of economic indicator, you know, we had a good year last year, and we're having a great year this year. You know, we're up by over $3 million in a very short period of time in terms of permits taken out. So Jennifer, I'm sure, looks forward, wherever she is, to those permits becoming tax dollars.
Apropos of that, I was interested in that. This is all anecdotal, but last year a number of the real estate dealers told me that it was the best year that they've ever had in their careers. And certainly a lot of properties sold. And this year I was getting the feeling that we haven't met the realtors, so I haven't got their opinions, but I got the impression that property movements, property sales were down. So I did ask Jennifer to give me a feel by looking at the deed transfer tax. And the deed transfer tax to the end of July, for the year to the end of July, this year as compared with last year, was up by almost $10,000. Which sort of surprised me. That means that there's an additional $1 million in properties being transferred. Now that can be one property of $1 million, or it can be, you know, so it needs more research, but just as a raw number, it was interesting and surprising. So we'll obviously work some more with that. So. Okay, moving ahead, we are now getting to item 15.2, which is, no we're not, we're getting to item 16, if I can find it. Here we are. The first item on 16.1 is the tolling of Highway 103. It's a bit unfortunate that our representative on the 103 committee couldn't be here today, but... So, who would like to carry the ball on this? Richard, why don't you take us through the report, first of all, and then there's a recommendation, and maybe a councillor would like to make that recommendation.
Okay, by way of background, Mr. Mayor, at the July 28th meeting, council requested that staff prepare a position paper regarding the twinning of the 103 highway. There have been media reports that that there was work and discussions going on from that. So what staff learned is that in the fall, the Provincial Transportation Infrastructure Renewal Department released the results of a operational and safety review, which can be viewed online. But summarily, what the review stated is what most people that use this highway know, is that there's a higher rate of injury and fatality on the 103 than other provincial highways. So one of the recommendations was expanding the amount of four-lane highways, even if tolling was required in that report. And then in June, the province issued a solicitation, which I don't believe is awarded yet, to do a feasibility study on tolling, looking at eight sections in the province, including from Tantallon to Bridgewater on the 103. So through that, the scope of work on that feasibility study, there's to be public consultation, more information, and those sort of things, which would better inform us to make a position. Staff are suggesting that based on public safety and economic development, certainly four-lane highways appear to be something that we'd be supportive of, and if tolling is required to initiate those, our preliminary position is that we would recommend it to be supportive. That being said, this feasibility study is going to include public engagement, and there'll be quite a bit more data and information that will be provided at that time. So it's our recommendation that we continue to monitor and participate in their work and bring that back to council.
So would someone like to make that recommendation a motion? Councillor Waterman, is there a seconder? Councillor Frelick? Okay, discussion.
I guess you don't know the ins and outs yet. But to me, though, like from Bridgewater to Tantallon, if you went on at Bridgewater, what about the people in between? They just get in and out. Free charge.
Yeah, and I think that's the same issues that they dealt with on the Cobequid tolls. So those are the kind of questions that, you know, certainly we need to flush out at the public information, how that would work.
Yeah, to me it looks like actually the people driving through would be charged, and the ones that was kind of local would be.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting to watch and see how they
respond.
Other comments? I mean, it would seem to me to be an issue that we need to be plugged into so that we can make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the world's moving forward, and I'm sure the 103 committee that Darlene sits on represents us on. We'll be having further discussions on that too. Councillor Fancy.
Do I get from this that they're looking at tolling all these?
I think what the government has said, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but my understanding is that the government said, and it was McClellan who was the minister, I think.
No relation.
Oh, okay. Who said that in order to eliminate these hazardous sections of highways, given the state of Nova Scotia's finances now, it's going to take forever to get these roads fixed and upgraded. So if there is real desire to eliminate the hazards and to improve the highway system, about the only way to go is to toll. And that he wanted to start that discussion on these various highways, and they're noted here in Richard's report, but 101, 103, 104, 107. But it was really government saying, hey, we don't know how else to do it, which is what the government said previously on the Cobequid Pass. They, you know, how do you get that done? And yet they were able to build that road in no time at all once they started tolling. And so Mr. Dagley's point's well taken. They've taken the tolls out in New Brunswick and increased the debt. So there are ways of doing these things differently, but until you've examined the issues, you shouldn't really make a decision. Yes.
The one thing that I seem to have a more of a problem with is you don't want to make it a reason not to drive the highway. I guess that's going across. When we look up going across to New Brunswick, well, that's for the most part that's something you're going to do on an occasion. This is people driving every day, and that changes. That's a whole different kettle of fish to me.
Those are, you know, decisions that we have to make, or you have to make as an individual councillor, and as we input later. I mean, you talk about people travelling from Truro to Amherst or to Oxford, for example, faced with the same kind of decision.
Right.
I think there's a rule, isn't there, that when you have a toll highway, you have to have a non-toll highway that parallels it or allows you to get from the same A to B kind of thing. Yes, Councillor?
But, like, it's not hard to do. I mean, I could go build them roads, but I get the money, not the province. You know
right.
what I mean? It would be a private,
yeah.
kind of a private sector to build them, and then they collect the money.
And I think
once they're paid for, they get. The province takes it over, you know.
Yeah, I think once they're paid for, over 25 years, whatever the number is, the Cobequid Pass reverts to the Crown.
That means the toll goes, does it?
that didn't happen on the McDonald Bridge, which has been tolled for years and years and years, and paid for the Mackay Bridge and so on. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sorry, I'm not sure what I'm voting for.
You are voting for the recommendation that the region of the that the Council of the Region of Queensland monitor and participate in the etc. Et
okay, yes, sorry.
Okay.
Yep.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. The Canada 101 report is included, and again, do we want to follow the same procedure where the CAO gives us a summary of the recommendation, and then we'll see if anybody's prepared to move the recommendation, which appears on the
first page.
There are two reports and two recommendations. Okay. Richard, would you take us through?
So again, at the July 28th meeting, Council brought up a discussion around some potential programmings of the Canada 150 funds, a program that's being developed to celebrate the birthday or the anniversary of Confederation in 2017. And essentially there's two funding pools, the Canada 150 fund, which is basically 100% funding monies for events, signage, there's different things, and then there's a Canada 150 community infrastructure program for the rehabilitation of assets, and those are 50-cent dollars generally. So one of the things staff wanted to bring forward a recommendation to start with on how we could potentially approach
looking at these funds, and we look forward to council's deliberation and direction. One was to focus on the renewal of a successful program that happened in 1999-2000 for the Millennium signs. There's 71 signs through the community. By the time we renew these in 2017-2018, that would mean that, you know, if we're getting 15 years out of the signs, that they'd be good to 2030. So we thought that, that would be a good model, since it was already successful, to replicate. And the second part was to look at, for now, just holding off on making a recommendation on the community infrastructure program while we take a look at what our role might be on this rural broadband file over the next month or so, and come back with a recommendation on that. So there you go.
Okay, comments on that one, and there is a recommendation. Do you want to move the recommendation? Are you moving the recommendation? No. Okay, you'd like to speak. Good. Okay. Councillor?
One of the things with the 150 is, one of the keywords is celebration. What I see here, it feels like it's kind of regurgitated from last time. It doesn't feel like it's anything new for the community, and I think the whole thing behind the 150 is to create, not that these are bad ideas, but I think it needs to go along with a huge undertaking from the community about what we can actually do to celebrate, because that's the whole idea, is a celebration of the 150. I don't feel like this is a celebration. This is just solving a couple problems that we have, and not really the celebratory kind of a comment.
I have the same feeling personally. On the signs, I think the first budget that we did, and Jennifer's back in the room, she can correct me, I think the first budget that we as a council put together, we upped the monies that we were spending on signs to $10,000. We had, I think, previously been replacing or renovating 6 signs a year, which obviously is not enough. I don't know if we spent the $10,000, but...
I think it was $5,000.
$5,000, was it? Okay,
we're going to spread it out over a couple of years, and it really, really, we didn't have the time and effort to put that much, you know, into the signs with our grounds crew, because we were going to use our grounds crew, Donald. But it was $5,000, and we were going to do that over a couple of years, and replace a couple at a time.
They are replaced, when they are replaced, by Donald, I think, and his crew.
Yes.
But I sort of agree with you, Brian. I mean, that was a good project. I think we somehow got to find a way of keeping it alive.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a celebration of this nation's 150th birthday.
Well, this is an opportunity for us to really shine as a municipality and to come up with something unique, because you know everybody else is sitting having the same conversation. And signs are important, but is that going to bring us any spotlight for Queens if we just do signs? I think we have to think big and then work our way down. And I think there's a lot of people who have some great ideas, but they have to be all sitting around the table and talking about it. So, and I know this is just the first stab at it, but I'd really like to think big and then work our way down. Maybe we end up with signs at the end, but because you have to have the public participation and the need to move forward with it. So.
I see a number of hands going, so I'm going to start from right to left. Councillor Warwick.
I agree with Brian. That's the year also that Cal W. Bookley is celebrating their 250th.
Caledon, you'll be celebrating what?
250.
200. No, 200.
200.
It's Caledonia was settled by William Burke.
Oh yeah, but I don't know what it was settled, but
okay, sorry.
Community.
Yes, Councillor Fisk.
I agree with Councillor Fairley. Can agree with yourself. I want to add to a little bit about the signs. When we up the to $5,000 on the signs per year, it really helped out. In my particular area, there's only a couple left to complete, and I think the rest of the areas have been touched up also. I think within the next couple of years, we'll have the signs up to date. So I really think that I have to agree with yourself and Councillor Fraley.
Councillor Fancy?
Okay, so there's two parts to this, is it? There's one, we're looking at the renewal of Millennium signage, and the other one is more for, well, I see here, for the community infrastructure program. That's something different altogether, or is that the...
Well, there's a separate recommendation.
Right.
Second program. Yes.
Yeah, second program.
And that's the second program. So we can all bring back recommendations, I guess, to our CEO and mayor to be able to look at some different things. Is this what I guess the?
Well, sorry. I'm one of the requests I've had is that we apply. I understand that. The municipality of the District of Lunenburg got $200,000 for the skateboard park under one of these funds. I haven't had that verified, but that's what I'm told. Is there any merit, and I do this once, and I suggested it before, is there any merit that each of the seven of you pick a person from your district and we ask them to form a committee? And by a certain date, whether it be December the 1st, the 22nd of December, which is a council meeting date, I've had complaints from staff about that, but in any case it is, that we have a recommendation from that committee as to how we move ahead. Does that have any...
So are you asking us to organize a group of people, or are you asking us to be part of that group of people?
Well, Brian, I do whatever you want, but what happened with the Millennium Committee, and I know it worked.
Yes.
We said to each councillor, pick someone from your district who sit on a committee. And we staffed the committee, and they came up with the program, and I think I sat on it too as mayor. Don't have to, if you don't want me to, that's fine. But that they came forward with a package. And it included the dogwoods, it included the community signs, and there were a couple of other things which, and Marilyn Large, who was well connected, was able to work hard and get us some funding, federal funding, though the funding here is in place. And they came back to council, and council adopted what it liked, and it went ahead with it. But it was really not a council-driven thing, except the council appointed the committee, and each of the councillors picked a person from their district. For example, Margie Dodry sat on it from the Greenfield area. Tom Shepherd sat on it from Caledonia.
Politics.
Yeah. So, and the only other thing that the councillor had to do, and you, we're looking backwards, but the councillor was responsible for getting the slogan from each community for the sign. So, for example, I know that Donna Murray, who was on the committee, went to every community and said, hey, what would you like, you know, and that happened all the way through. So, yeah.
One more question. So each councillor picks one, and they work together as a group? All over Queens County?
Yes.
They were the committee.
They were the committee.
Okay. So it's not individual committees.
No,
yeah.
One big committee.
And the individual, you know, whoever you might pick, let's go backwards. So Margie Jodry might have gone to the Greenfield, Bangsfold area and mm-hmm. said, hey, what are you interested in? What do you like? And also, as a part of that committee, I think, unless I'm getting confused, we did look at a library, for example. And we made some visits around and about, and that didn't happen. You know, so you can think as big or as small as you... Yes, Councillor McLeod.
I think that's a great idea, and if it worked in the past, Mayor Clark, I feel, you know, we shouldn't change that at all. Once that committee is formed and they come up with an idea and project, first of all, is there a deadline for the funding for this?
Let me verify that, and I'll confirm the funding. I'll confirm the deadline. I don't believe we're up against a deadline in that timeline that you were discussing, like in the next, by December. I think that worked. Oh, all projects? No. No, I don't have it in my notes.
So once we establish that and we work within the boundaries of that deadline, so who would make an application? That would be the region of Queensland.
We would do that. It's all, and it has to be the region that applies for these funds. So.
Oh, it does have to be the region?
Oh, sorry.
It does have to be the region? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. I think so. As I read it, I did read the application previously, but it has to be from municipalities, I think.
Our project, maybe there might be a community group that can apply too. I don't know.
Is that correct, Richard? Or
there are other ways that, yeah.
Yeah.
But certainly there's the intent for a municipal project, so. But there are
if we remember, there was a very well-organized celebration of the Tent Dwellers Festival that was held in North Queens a few years ago, and that was a celebration of events, and it was things that were held over a period of months, and it's still a legacy left behind from that event. So something like that, as you say, would be a celebration, could kind of be a model of something like that.
And that could be up to the committee.
Yeah.
So, yes, Councillor Freeland.
Just
Fisk, sorry.
I'm wondering where my district is so spread out. You're talking Mill Village, Fort Midway, Charleston, and then you skip and come up to Greenfield area. Could it be possible to have two of my district?
See? Politics.
You're covering each community. Should
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what's
historical.
It's widespread out.
Fort Medway's going to have completely different,
they have
ideas.
Different ideas.
Greenfield.
So if I personally will vote against Councillor Fisk getting two and everybody else getting the one, but you might want to do to every councillor picks two people from their district to sit on the committee.
We didn't agree to one yet.
We don't agree to one yet.
That was your idea.
That's a good idea. For all that.
I don't know what you want to do because we got to move this off dead center.
That makes good sense.
It does.
Two.
So where are we now? We're at the end of August. Can everybody have names by the middle of September?
Sure.
Done.
Give us a deadline and we'll meet it.
Okay, so do we need, do it, is this direction to council? Is it a move, a motion from council that we appoint a citizens committee with two persons from each electoral district? Have I got the right term? To sit on and work on these two funds, and that we'll have the names in by the 15th of September. Now, Darlene's not here to wrap my knuckles. I'm talking about a motion that's not in writing. Maybe you better just do it.
I'll second your motion.
It's probably vibrating as we speak.
Just a question about the two funds. The other one, of course, involves a 50% contribution. So do you want to kind of keep that separate from this committee?
It's up to you. It's if that's however you'd like to do it. If you said to this committee, be cognizant of the fact that Fund 2 is going to take municipal dollars and that those are limited or may be limited.
Your worship. If I might, while you're correct, absolutely, staff will have to write a report to discuss the financial implications. It may be a good opportunity for us to reach out and see what the community is looking for on those sort of things. You know, we've made a recommendation right now that we think rural broadband, but we have a bunch of different ideas. We can bring that forward at the same time, so I think it's a good opportunity to reach out to the community to get a good feel for some of those things.
Okay. Just sorry, you've been strangely silent for quite a while, Councillor Fancy.
So as we bring these groups together to be able to figure out what they want to ask for, there can be other things, like you said, like the broadband. So we can actually still go with those because, you know, of course, I know I've got one idea in particular which I've already talked with you about. That would be something that would be different than or added to.
If the committee recommends it, because I would visualize it,
right.
If you have two people on a committee and they can sell this to the other 14 just men, women, you know, and get support.
Oh, so go to the committee and with your idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Even though it may not be in your area, it might be a general, you still go to your
Then the committee bring back, you know, for example, the Dogwoods was a province, you know, region-wide, as was the signage. Yes?
One thing I noticed when I was doing some research on this was that they had an information session about the Canada 150 in Halifax. So maybe once we get this committee together, maybe we connect with that person and they come and they kind of talk about what's available, what the steps are, just for information. I don't know if that's still available, but could you?
Sure it is. Okay. I'm sure we can. We can facilitate that.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to a whole committee to know what sort of things are covered, but get them thinking differently.
Okay, so we're agreed then, two from each district. Every name, all the names will be in by the 15th of September. We'll have to think about a chair, whether the committee picks a chair from amongst itself, which I think is the way to go. Richard will have to think about staffing for that committee. is that the way we're going? And you'll all have your names in by the 15th?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yep. Great. All happy?
Happy,
yes.
Good. Okay, thank you. That, I think, then
happy as I get.
Completes the agenda, or the open part of the agenda. We will take a 5-minute recess. We've got about half an hour's work to do beyond this, so I would suggest that we keep going.